Amen. Amen. I know I have. I have enjoyed the praise and worship.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We're going to go ahead today. We have a few things to discuss that the Lord has put in my spirit to share with the church this morning. Got a lot of good praise reports that came in about people that we had prayed for. I just want to let you know, continue to pray. Prayer is a place where we need to manifest much of our time, because prayer actually will move the hand of God on your behalf. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So it's one of the best things that we have to do. Amen. And the most effective. You know, you can complain, but as we say in the song, you had some good days and you had some hills to climb. And but when you had some weary days and some lonely nights, when you look around and think things over, you see all of your good days outweigh your bad days. Amen. And I won't complain. So I'm not going to complain about the bad days, because those days are days which the Lord was dealing with me, bringing me up to another level in Him.
Oh, yes.
Amen. So we're going to talk about some of these things just a bit here. I think this lesson today is kind of a connected lesson. It's going to help you connect some of the dots in some of the other lessons that you've been getting throughout this year. So today we take up a topic of spiritual guidance into the love of Jesus. Now let me first talk about an error that we saw in the print, which Dr. Adams pointed out to me. I actually copied this and pasted it from my laptop where I worked on it, which I don't normally do. And I transposed the New and the Old Testament. So you'll see that it says, and we'll correct this on the website, that it says Old Testament Scripture, but it has 1 John, which is the New Testament Scripture. So I kind of transposed them somehow in my cut and paste. So please excuse me, charge it to my head and not to my heart. Because I think all you Bible scholars who are in front of me here, y'all know that which one is new and which one is old. I didn't even have to tell you. You know, I can tell that because I know how y'all fervently study the Word. Amen. But we will make those changes online so that it doesn't appear to somebody else that we have a typo. And normally I get a chance to go over everything. And I'm going to be completely honest, we were actually waiting on a pizza delivery on yesterday. And I went down to the table so I wouldn't miss the delivery. And so I started working on my laptop, and I did the message, put it all in there, collected all my notes. Then when I went back up to copy and paste it, I pasted it backwards. So that's what happened. But the pizza was good. Then you can go ahead and add that in right now. So we did enjoy a nice emos on yesterday. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Anyway, let's move along. So we're going to read first, since we have them in reverse order, let's read Deuteronomy 13. And you can locate that on your handout if you don't have it. Go to Deuteronomy 13 if you happen to be listening online. And we're going to start in number 1 in chapter 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Amen. Selected verses from the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. May God bless the reading of the Old Testament. And now for the Newer Testament, we're going to look in 1 John 4, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You have read the New Testament selected scriptures. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we want to talk for the next few minutes about spiritual guidance into the love of Jesus. Spiritual guidance into the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is the most profound love that there is.
Amen.
He put it this way. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You see, and that's the greatest love of all, as we have coined that phrase. Because considering who he was, that he was the eternal God who existed in eternity past, face to face with the Father, the Son of God, who already determined before sin ever happened, before the devil was the devil.
Yes.
When the devil was holy, there was a time when the devil was holy, because he is a creation of the holy God.
Right.
But this Son of God had already determined, even before the fall of Satan, that he would redeem a people.
My Lord.
When there was no time, there was nothing but eternal space. You see, God was there in eternity, face to face with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He determined that he set his love on me and you. Those who believe, not just us in this room,
all right,
but Christians around the world.
Amen.
We're called Christians because we believe that Christ, the Messiah, has come.
Amen.
As God promised.
Yes.
And so the dividing line between the saved and the lost, the children of God and the children of the devil, is what you believe about Christ.
Right.
Okay?
Yes. Amen.
And so right now today, this the Bible is a progressive revelation. I want to state that, because originally God gave some information as he went along. Let's say at one time, in other words, the book of the law, which was composed by Moses, or written by Moses, composed by the Holy Ghost, who led him along to write what he wrote, was the whole Bible.
Yes.
There was no more Bible at one time in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a culmination of writings that have been given by the prophets through the ministration of angels, the Bible says, over a period of about 1,600 years. So at one time, Genesis to Deuteronomy was the entire Bible. Then God added, we call it progressive revelation. He began to get more information as time went on. Of course, that would have been the transition to Joshua and Judges. And we always say, now this here y'all heard me say before, and I'm just going to say it again, that was a little ridiculous. But up to the time of the book of Judges, the Bible, I always say, was a ruthless book. And they said, well, why do you say that? Because the book of Ruth hadn't been written yet. But either case, that's a bad book. I'll just slip that in right there. But either case, God gave more information as time went along. He gave you a little bit more to understand who he is and how he was coming.
Yes.
See, and I joke with you about the book of Ruth, but Ruth is a place where in the Old Testament you can see that God never discriminated against a Gentile at any time. Even when he started his dealing with mankind. And think about this. This is a really deep thought that came to me as I meditated about this message. God is always dealing with the one who did wrong. Mm-hmm. Say, what do you mean by that? When there was only Cain and Abel.
Right.
Abel got killed. He was doing right.
Yeah.
So God dealt with Cain.
Yeah.
So he started from the beginning dealing with the one who was wrong. And he continued to do that throughout prophetic history.
Mm-hmm.
The descendants of Cain, he had to minister to them, because Abel would have no descendants, not physical descendants, because he was taken out of the picture.
Yes.
Think about that. That's why Jesus said that all the prophets since the foundation of the world, from Abel to Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
See, because the righteous have been persecuted and slain and smitten and counted for nothing throughout all the years, and it's because of God's great mercy.
Yeah.
He loves the offender.
Yes.
And so people need to know that. That's something you and I need to preach. I'm happy about that because I was an offender at one time. I'm sure that in some ways, even though I am doing my level best to walk with God, I'm still an offender. So God is always dealing with people who are not doing right. And I think this is, it has to be the case because the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. And the problem with people is they get elevated in their thoughts about themselves and they think they can be satisfactory to a holy God apart from his pardon and his mercy. And the answer to that is no. No way. If it wasn't for his mercy, there's no way that anyone could be justified in his sight. That was the problem with the Apostle Paul. He said, you know what, the law, and there's nothing wrong with the law, don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing the law, neither does the Bible criticize the law. The law, the Bible says in Romans 7:24, is holy, just, and good. See, there's nothing wrong with the law in the 7th of Romans, I'm not sure if it's 24. But in either case, there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is this one right here.
Yes.
This one here is twisted and does not keep all the precepts of the law. So once you don't keep any part of the law, and it doesn't mean people are completely lawless, it just means that they're not perfectly righteous.
That's it.
No one is perfectly righteous. That's why it says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. That means all the time. There's none that seeketh after God. You know what? God is seeking you. You're not seeking him. We didn't begin to seek him till he sought us. That's why John says here in our New Testament text that we love him because he first loved us. See, he called you out of darkness. John 15:16, he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. See, so God has always been seeking the lost and the reckless ones who do not do perfectly. There's never been anyone saved because they did good works.
Amen.
Completely. Because the only one, and he didn't need to be saved because he did good works completely, and his name is Jesus.
That's right.
So God gave more information about what it would require to have a relationship with him throughout the entire revelation of the Bible, which began from the days of Moses about 1600 B.C. on up until 95 A.D. when the last book was penned by John the Apostle and given to the church in Ephesus, which we call the book of Revelation. So in between there is what we're talking about. There were prophets all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only does God have prophets, but the devil has prophets.
Yep.
And so they had to be warned all along the way. As we see here in Deuteronomy 13, Moses writing in Deuteronomy, the word itself means second law. It has the word duet in the beginning, as you know. And I think I may even have misspelled that as I look at my paper here today. But y'all bear with me, I'm imperfect. But the law of the Lord is perfect. And I want you to understand that the word duet is in there, which means two. That's when two sing together, right? And anomy is a Greek word, or comes from the Greek word nomos, which means law. The second law is the book of Deuteronomy. So he's writing the children of Israel. This is the children of Jacob, who was called Israel and multiplied into 12 tribes, who he was married to, of course, Gentile women, to produce the seed of Abraham, which came through Isaac and finally through Jacob. He tells them here in 13 that there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. These are people professing to have spiritual revelation. And they give you a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Look at that. He said, all these people can tell you something, and it may happen. You may call the psychic hotline, and they give you some right information every so often. And I'm not recommending you do this. But he's saying that people do this. And sometimes in the process of dealing with a false prophet, they hit the nail on the head. But then what they do is they turn around and say, And the sign of wonder comes to pass whereof he spake unto you, saying, let us go after other gods. They begin to tell you that just be spiritual. Don't worry about God himself. He will accept you any kind of way. They give you some twisted story, which you have not known, and let us serve them. He said, we want you to go after foreign gods. So there are people who may have some kind of a spiritual power. Maybe it's coming from Satan. Maybe it was a lucky guess. I don't know what it was, but they may try to draw you off the track because they have something that appears to be spiritual going on. He says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you, is what that word proveth means, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God is more concerned about if you and I love him and trust him, no matter what results we might be getting from something else or anything else, no matter what it is your devotion to him.
Right.
See, that's the important thing. Are you devoted to him?
Amen.
See, that's why he criticized one of the churches in the seven letters, telling them you have left what? Your first love.
That's right.
You know, you can get out here and appear spiritual. People might consider you to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. You may have droves and flocks of people come to listen to what you have to say.
Uh-huh.
But do you love the Lord your God? Is his program at the focal point of your ministry?
All right.
Is Christ the only one that you give praise and glory to? Or do you give accolades to your foundation or whatever it is that you happen to be running? And I want you to know, God is not going to be in competition with anything or anyone. And so he says, God may test you to see how you do as you hear the word of a false prophet or a dreamer of dreams that gives you a sign or wonder, even if it comes to pass. When they get you off the track and begin to twist your focus away from his son, who is the focal point of human history, that's the red flag you and I have to be aware of. And we want to learn. That's why we need spiritual guidance to understand the love of Jesus, because there's going to be a lot of stuff the devil is behind who is out here in the world that he would like to get you thinking on something else. Get your mind off God's program. Get your mind onto your own flesh or onto somebody's prosperity of some sort. You know, and the scripture tells us very clearly that the earth is on a collision course with disaster. And that's something we need to be aware of.
Yeah.
That's why we always say, we sing some of those songs we sing, we say, this is not my world. I'm just kind of passing through. This is not, I'm here sojourning for a while. Sometimes people get hung up on being here. It doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have good things while you're here. But you know what? If you have money, that's okay. But if money has you, you have a problem. See, so we have to be careful about where is our focus? Where is our balance? You know, and you want to make sure that it is in allegiance to God and his program. So it doesn't make any difference if a sign or wonder comes to pass. He says, you shall not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for God is testing you, and he wants to know, where is your love, the focus of your love and your attention? Is your heart with me and your soul? Do you love me with all your heart and with all your soul? Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. See, God is more interested in that, whose we are, than who we are.
Yeah.
See? Because we need to love him and keep him in the right place in order for us to have our focus right. Nothing else we do, no matter how prosperous it may seem or be, will profit us at all. That's why Jesus put it this way. He said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What's worth more than your soul? And the answer to me is nothing. See, think about it. God gave the soul of his son to save all of our souls so that he could deliver us from the curse of death, which was brought upon us by Adam. So there have always been people who either believe God or they don't believe him. That's the simple fact, which is manifested in the reality of if they believe what God has said. It has to do with what he said. You see, and God has given us his word. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. Some of y'all hear me say this, and it's repetition for you all the time. If God can make the heavens and the earth, let's reduce that a little. If he can make a tree, let's reduce it a little more. If he can make a blade of grass, okay, that's a small project. But to me and you, that's an enormous project, because all of us all together with all the computers, all the money, and all the time we could get, couldn't make a blade of grass. See what I'm saying? If he can do that, don't you think he can give you his word? How easy is it for him to give you his word if he can make a tree? I was looking at a weird bug on my porch yesterday. What kind of bug is this? And he was so fascinating, I watched him for a while. He didn't come until we had power washed the porch for some reason. And he was sitting out there, and I said, well, this bug is unique. But he was so interesting, and that's one bug that God made. And how do you make that thing? You know, just think about it. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. You can just look around. And everything is preaching, telling you there is a God. Now, we live in a time when scientists think they know how stuff came. Oh, there was an explosion 49 billion years ago. And it blasted way out and it's still going out right now. And all of this blew from out of chaos into perfection. Oh, okay. Explain that, please. We don't have an explanation. So that's what it means when it says if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that gives you a sign or a wonder. See, they can tell you some stuff and you have to say, explain that to me, please. And the fact is, whatever they're teaching is just as much religion as what you and I are teaching. Because you can only believe that by faith because you don't have any proof. No, it's more proof that a wise, all-knowing God with intense, unimaginable wisdom crafted everything and causes it to reproduce after its own kind. That's more believable than the hogwash about the big explosion. And I always like to remind them, if you think that was a big explosion, wait till you go in the box without Jesus. Wait till you die and are not covered by the blood of the Son of God. Then you're going to see an explosion. You're talking about a big bang. Wait till you get down there in hell with the devil and all of his minions. So there's always been people who want to try to tell you, convince you that some other kind of way things came rather than what God said. And you know what? The more you study the word, the more convincing it is that this is the word of God.
Yes, it is.
Because no man could have put that together.
No way.
It was written by 40 different people over a space of 1,600 years. And the connectivity in it is flawless. From Genesis to Revelation.
Wow.
So you have good reason. The more you study it, somebody said, don't try to make me doubt it because I know too much about it. And the more I study it, the more intense it becomes because God has written it. It's authored by God the Holy Spirit, and we'll be talking about that a little more. So we must believe what God said and act on what he said rather than acting on anything else, no matter how convincing it might be. So this is the kind of guidance you and I need in these last and evil days.
Oh yes.
John put it this way: as the revelation became more and more clear, the farther along time that man went. You know, there was 400 years, we say, that white page in your Bible in between Malachi and Matthew represents 400 years of human history. And it's a blank page there in our Bible. They will call this a Protestant Bible because it does not contain the Apocrypha. And we'll have to have that conversation another day. And I'll tell you why I don't believe that. But the fact is, in the 66 books that God has given, the revelation becomes more and more clear.
Yeah.
And you know what? The thing is, if you don't believe it, that's why you're not getting it.
Yeah.
You have to believe it first.
Yeah.
You know what? And you can't believe it unless you have been born again.
Right.
That's why Jesus went to Nicodemus, where he actually came to him by night.
Right.
And he said, Master, we know you are a teacher come from God. Because no one can do the signs that you do except God be with him. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, oh, Rabbi, a ruler of the Jews, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That means it's tainted with Adam's sin. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. There's a couple of things that I can say right off the top of my head about that statement. Nicodemus didn't get it and went right over his head. You know, and he looked at him, how can a man be born when he is old? See, he didn't get it at all. It went, that was proof that what I said was true. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's why you don't understand it. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. See, you have an eternal soul. The soul that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul is in you. God has granted you a living soul that is an eternal soul, no matter who you are. See, if you're living and breathing, you have an eternal soul from God.
All right.
But the question is, since it's tainted with the sin of Adam, you must be born from above, the word says in John chapter 3.
Yeah.
In other words, God has to give you a second birth.
Right.
So that you can understand what he says and what he means by what he said. That's why he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again. And we King James translates it born again. The Greek says born from above. Anothen, from above. That's the Greek word.
Right.
See, you must have a birth from above. God the Holy Spirit must give you revelation for you to understand the things of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, the wind listeth. In other words, you hear the wind blowing, and you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, it comes upon you, and we say after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you can be born again. And you are done this way by faith.
Yes.
So Nicodemus didn't get it. He asked, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back into his mother's womb? That's only got a birth he knew anything about. See, he can't do that, can he? And see, and so he let him know it requires a spiritual birth. So you and I need spiritual guidance to really understand the love of Jesus. Look what John says here quickly with me in the New Testament text from 1 John 4. Beloved, same thing Moses was saying, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. See, because many false prophets are going out into the world. That lets you know God has a tolerance for false prophets. He allows people like Saul of Tarsus, who hate the church, to exist. So he can have time to give them an encounter. Because he doesn't hate them, they hate him. They don't realize it. See, but he doesn't want them to go to hell because God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So I'm trying to give all of them time to turn around, hear the truth, and be saved. Because I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. None whatsoever. See, so he gave Saul, as we know, Saul of Tarsus of the tribe of Benjamin, time to get himself together. He was trying to give Nicodemus a chance to get himself together. He gave all those scribes and Pharisees and people who thought they were so righteous that God should just accept them on the basis of their good works, which is what many current day Jews believe. They still think you get saved by good works. And they don't understand that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's Titus 3, 5, and 6. See, so you have to have a born again experience. It's never been any different. People have always needed to trust God first.
Yes.
And believe him. See? Believe that he had a plan. Abraham, it tells us, was in Ur of the Chaldees, which where we're having trouble over there now. Still there in the Middle East. See, having trouble now. There's a threat of war over there all the time.
Yeah.
Called him, told him, get away from there.
Yeah.
Come out of there. Get away from your father's house.
Mm-hmm.
Away from your kindred. Come into a land I'll show you. Leave everything that you've been accustomed to for 75 years, buddy. Hit the road.
Right.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah.
And the Bible says he packed up his stuff and said, sayonara, that's my translation.
Yeah.
Goodbye, I'm out.
I'm out.
See, peace out, as the kids say today. See ya. He hit the road. Why? Because he had faith. He believed God, and his actions took him right on out of where he was, out of his comfort zone, where I have nothing to lean on but you. Nobody to lean on and trust but you. I trust you with everything.
Yeah.
I put away and sacrificed everything I was.
Yeah.
Everything was promised to me.
Mm-hmm.
All my hopes, dreams, aspirations, family, friends, neighbors, relatives, even my enemies, I'm going away.
Mm-hmm.
Into a land I don't even know where I'm going.
Right.
But because you said go, Lord, I go by faith.
Right.
Genesis 15:6 says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. See, that's in the Jewish scripture. If there's some Jews listening to my message, God loves you intensely. He calls the Jews to be. There would be no Jews had it have not been for God. But he was going to send his son, Jesus, through that line of the Jews. So he superintended their birth. Their very existence came because God gave a barren woman a seed bearing capability from a man that was over 75. He was nearly 100 by the time Isaac was conceived. So you know that was a miracle of God. Had to be. See what I'm saying? That sounds crazy today when we think about it. You know, and Sarah had no children. We remember that, right? So down through those 42 generations that proceeded from the man of faith, Abraham, came the Lord Jesus Christ after 42 generations. And God, that's why you hear preachers saying, oh, it was over 42 generations. Read Matthew 1:17 if you want a text for that. See, that God sent his son through a line of non-existent people. They didn't exist prior to his intervention with Abram and Sarai. See, caused him to bear a seed, multiplied the seed through 42 generations to lead right up to one woman named Mary, who was of the lineage in the household of David, the king, to whom he impregnated by the Holy Spirit, gave birth to his son, Jesus, the Messiah, skipping the blood of Abel, in order for him to be born with no sin. So only God could know that and do that. See, and the virgin birth is a critical part of the fulfillment of the prophecy. Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, and God's plan was to do that all the time, to separate the bloodline of Adam from the bloodline of Jesus, the Christ. And he did that so he could be a perfect, spotless lamb without a blemish, without a spot or a wrinkle. Think about how perfect the design of a woman is that she can carry a child and not contribute to his bloodstream. True of women even yet today. Continues to be true. It's just a fact, an anatomical fact of female anatomy. Right now today, and I always tell people, go check that out. Get you some books and read on that. That there's a separation between the bloodstream of the fetus and the mother. See what I mean? And God did that when he made Eve. And he did it because he knew when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4:4, God would send forth the son made of a woman, born under the law, so he could bring in a sinless son to walk among us and fulfill his word that he had given all this time as we look back. So we need spiritual guidance, in other words, so we can walk by faith and not by sight. We've been given many spiritual examples in the scripture. We see all those people of faith, those great patriarchs of faith, who believed what God said and they moved on it. They weren't perfect. We got some examples, folk like Samson. He wasn't perfect by a long stretch, but at the bottom line, he loved and believed God.
Yes.
He sacrificed his own life in order to bring the enemies of God down. Yeah. And he is listed in the book of Hebrews as one of those who had faith.
Wow.
You see, and to the saving of the soul.
Yeah.
And so I think these things are there so that the Jews don't get it twisted. It's in your book that Ruth got saved, the Moabitess.
Yep.
It's in your book that Rahab the harlot got saved.
Yeah.
It's in your book all these Damon the Syrian got saved. The widow of Zarephath got saved.
Yep.
It's all in your book that all these Gentiles God was saving all the time by faith.
Yeah.
He came, bought your whole nation out of the Gentiles in order to bring you his son, Jesus the Messiah, so that you could be saved.
Wow.
And when he came, he even knew that you would crucify him when he came. He came to his own and his own received him not. Was written in the word. But to as many as received him, he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe in his name. So in the old covenant, we can see that there can be and that there were false prophets who are by God's permissive will capable of speaking a prophetic vision. However, they are doing it for some other reason or motivation, which is to mislead people to walk in disobedience to the word of the true God. Much like the devil did to Eve just before the fall of man. He deceived her into thinking, man, there's something better than this. Oh, he's withholding his best from you. Go ahead and ate that. That was false prophecy. You're not going to die. And she bought the lie.
Yeah.
And then Adam did eat with her. That's when the transgression happened. Because he was the one that had been held responsible. So we need to understand that there's always false prophets, false teachers. Don't think that they just pop up somewhere in a booth or on TV. There are many pulpits full of false prophets and false teachers. So you have to be discerning. You have to have spiritual guidance from God to understand that you are going to love people anyway in spite of that. This is not a reason to hate on anybody, but it's a reason for you to be aware so that you can rightly divide the word of truth and make sure you are walking by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
So learning from God the Holy Spirit is the blessing afforded for each believer in Jesus the Christ, which is received at the point of salvation. See, technically the Holy Spirit begins to work on you before you get saved. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He's there energizing the words of whoever it is that presents you the gospel. See, and you may have already heard it multiple times and didn't respond correctly. And the Spirit was there every time you got a message about Christ, convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what Jesus said. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Oh, yes.
Sin because the prince of this world is judged. He judged, Satan was judged on Calvary. Did you know that?
Yes.
When Jesus was crucified, that was the judgment of the devil.
Right.
He thought it was the judgment of the Christ.
Yeah.
Because I got to get you put out of here, buddy.
Right.
But he didn't know he was bringing his own train to an end for all those who trust and believe in him.
Yeah.
See? And it was righteousness because Jesus said, I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
See? Why? Because nobody else could ascend to the Father because no one else was perfect.
No one.
Without a spot, without a blemish.
No.
See?
No one else.
And he said, sin, righteousness, and judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So he actually judged death on the cross when he died.
Right.
He dealt a death blow to death by being crucified. Because it was an unlawful death.
Mm-hmm.
Death only had the right to take people who sinned.
Right.
So death, when Jesus' death was paid, it was not for anyone who sinned.
Mm.
It was for everyone who believes in him.
Yes.
His death was for you.
Right.
His death was for me.
Yeah.
He died for whosoever believes in him in order that he might show you the love of God. Because you don't have another way to be flawless and without sin. Except the Son of God was crucified for you. Now you know what? Even in the doctrine of the Jewish people, which I've been doing this intentionally the last few weeks, listening to many messages by rabbis, all of their teaching is right until they get to the doctrine of the Messiah. They tell you what the Messiah is supposed to do, though, and they have it right. They said when Messiah has come, they just don't believe he's come. That we're all going to be risen and put back in our bodies and be perfect and never be cursed with any sin again. I said, wow, well, you got the story right. But you just don't know who it is. Messiah has already come. Already been crucified. You got too much scripture that God promised it wouldn't be fulfilled if Jesus hadn't already been here. Stuff that you can't do. Even the third temple that you're talking about building now, it's written in the book. Everything about this whole situation we see going on in Israel, it's in the book. And I have to say this to you because you and I wouldn't be able to see it if God did not give us the revelation.
Amen.
So we look at that and go, well, how can they not believe? And they're the covenant people.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer we looked at in Bible study the other day, Romans 11, says that a partial hardening has happened to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God has partially hardened the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's not against them, but when they rejected him, he said, okay, the gospel will go to the Gentiles and they will receive it.
Right.
And that's what you see now. That's why the church is prominent in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming less prominent because people are less godly. The scripture's been taken out, especially in America.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the Bible in America anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can do without it. That's why we got the mess we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can pay for it with millions of dollars and fix it. No, you can't. That's what was wrong with the churches in the seven letters.
Mm-hmm.
They said, don't you know that you are naked and miserable and poor and blind, even though you think you're exalted and lofty and you're rich and you have need of nothing?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the opposite. Just the opposite. You are in poverty spiritually because you don't see what God has done. And I don't have time to address everything the Spirit put in my heart, and I guess you're going to have to get this in the classes as we go, because we don't have time to talk about it all today. But I want you to know, you need to know who your enemy is, and know who's giving you the truth. The devil is ruthless. When we see stuff like what happened in Las Vegas recently in that massacre, somebody who didn't know all those people rents a hotel room and blasts down all kinds of people in cold blood. Who do you think's behind that? That's the work of the devil.
Yes.
A lot of people like that. We could just start naming them. I don't want to trouble you to think about it. But you think about all those times when you've seen that kind of a situation in our culture. And you know that that is the work of Satan. When you see trouble in the Middle East, God is keeping Israel for his purposes. Israel is going to be there until God says, I'm done. And when the whole world turns on them, he's going to go to war and shut everybody down. So I hope they hear this up in Washington. You don't have any missiles that can stop the Most High God from shutting you down. I hope they hear it in Pakistan and in all these places, because nobody has any weapons that will stop. And it'll just be the Lord himself. Read Isaiah 63 when you get a chance. He said, I fought in the battle against the whole world, came against him in the Armageddon. And he shut them all down. The Bible says that there's going to be blood up to the horse's brows in the valley of Armageddon, in the valley of Megiddo, when they come against him. They're going to wonder who and what in the world, what kind of a weapon is this that they have? And the weapon is God Almighty is shutting you down because you don't believe. See? So they're going to do battle with the Almighty. And we talk about that another day. But I want you to understand that learning from God's Holy Spirit is the blessing afforded each believer in Jesus Christ, which is received at the point of salvation and imparts supernatural ability to discern in each situation and to have access to prayer, which is heard directly by God, giving all who believe a major advantage to display God's supernatural love in all cases. That's why you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit is given to you to guide you and lead you to all truth. See, he's there to comfort you in times of trouble. He's also there to rebuke you when you're not doing the right thing. And when I'm not doing the right thing, he tells me that's not right, and he's grieved. So the Spirit is the source that you and I have that guides us into the love of Christ. And I think what I want to say here in closing is I want you to begin to pray about being more receptive to the Holy Spirit. Do like James said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. See, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can get mad if you like me, you blow up quick when you get to the certain level that you pop off. Some people may blow up quicker. But what you got to do is learn to turn the ears up, turn the lips down.
Yes.
I always like what Pastor Barney told me, and it's hard to do. It's very, very hard to do. It's easier to say than it is to do. But James said it. He said that the tongue is the smallest member of the body. But it's set on fire by hell. That's what it says in the Word. You don't hear much people preaching about that, do you? Set on fire by hell. That's pretty serious. And Pastor Barney always used to say, that's why God only gave you one. And he put it in a cage. It's in a cage right now in your head. He said, keep that thing in check, because it's going to get you in trouble. See, and James says, you can be perfect in what you say, that you will be able to bridle the whole body as well. And the reason we can't bridle the body is our tongues are too loose. So watch it with the folks telling you about all of speaking in tongues, and you're going to rabble off some stuff. Put the tongue in check. Put it in check. That's what James said. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See, if we could just do that, that's a hard lesson. And he says that the tongue is the most difficult thing to tame. The most difficult. He said, if you could do that, you could handle the other stuff easy. We could handle gluttony if we could keep our tongue together. We could handle anything else, lust, greed, animosity, whatever, any other sin you have, you can handle carefully and easier if you can keep your tongue in check. That's amazing. And then it also shows, and I'll be done after this, you can use that tongue right, pray. Instead of arguing and fighting and fussing, pray. Tell it to God. Got a gripe and a beef? Let's talk to God. Talk to him first before you try to deal with it yourself. And this is advice for me. This is what the Spirit convicted me of as I was writing this message. We need spiritual guidance in order to put forth the love of Jesus. It's very difficult for us to do. It's not impossible. You notice I didn't say it's impossible? Because this is what we're called to. But we have to learn to practice it. Preaching it is one thing, practicing it is another thing. Because see, we know what to do. But he who knows to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So we have to learn to practice it. It's just something you got to. And I think the path to practicing that will be the path of prayer. So we hope that you have learned something today. Realize this, no matter where you are, in based on what we said, God loves you just like you are. You have never done anything for which he is not willing to forgive you. And he wants you to be saved.
Yes.
There isn't anyone God does not want to be saved.
Right.
He's made a sacrifice sufficient to save whosoever believes the gospel. And that's why it's gospel, because it's great news. The gospel, the term euangelizo, means good news. To me, it's great news. The best news there could ever be. There's no better news. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. He's done that for you, whoever you are, in order that he might have you know that he loves you and he will save you if you trust in him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. You don't even have to understand everything I said. Your spiritual journey begins with trusting God and believing that God sent his son and raised him from the dead. And you shall be saved. That's a promise. You can trust God. He will never come short of his promise. And if you believe him, that's all he requires. He'll take care of your works and he'll make you a better man or woman when you begin to believe him. So if today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Trust in him right now. Maybe you trust him today at a deeper level yourself, and you are saved. If you do, that's good. Because he's guiding us, leading us into a deeper way to love Christ. And when we learn that, we'll know a deeper way to love each other. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we bless you this morning. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for protection that you give us, for putting angels around us. You said that your angels are all ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. And so, Father, we thank you for angelic support. We thank you for your son above all. We thank you for the knowledge of his resurrection. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to bless every person here in this room under the sound of my voice. We ask blessings for those that are listening, Lord God, outside this room, however they're hearing our voice and our message, Lord. We ask you to save somebody right now. Father, because you do it all by yourself. And Father, we thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit. We ask for anointing on everyone in the room, Lord God. Especially the preachers and the teachers, Lord God, bless their minds with more understanding, Lord God, and give us a fervor to go out and spread the gospel even to the ends of the earth. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We ask all this to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. You said when he is glorified, you are satisfied. And not until he is glorified. That's why you declared that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord. To the glory of yourself, O God. And so we give you praise in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And the whole church said together,
amen.
I hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.